My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we just finished week six of the college football season. So we're about halfway through.
We've got some teams, Chris, have played seven games.
Some teams
already
have played seven, yeah. I think USC is – actually, USC's played six because they had a bye week. But we are now about halfway through. We've got an idea of who the real contenders are, which teams are very good but not going to be in the playoff, and which teams are definitely out. And I think we also now have a pretty good idea, for the most part, of – who has really solidified themselves as far as the top of the draft is concerned?
No question about it. And I think a lot of times teams are kind of looking at their rosters. They're looking at free agents, who's going to be free agent, who they're going to have to pay, and who they need to hit on in the draft. And I was talking to Carrington earlier. And, you know, we're looking at the Chiefs and thinking about contracts. Like, does Nick Bolton get the second contract? And you got to pay the offensive line. Which direction are you going to go? And the Chiefs have been so defensive heavy. What? 7 out of 10 2 years ago, 5 out of 7 last year. And I was like, man, this is the year you go wide receiver in the first round. And with maybe 6 quarterbacks going in the first round, all of a sudden you're picking like 25th instead of 32nd if you go out and win the Super Bowl. But still, they're going to be hopefully making a deep run in the playoffs. But you start looking at your roster and you start figuring out what you need. Is Travis Kelce getting to the age where you've neglected tight end for the last couple of years and you've been okay with it because Kelce's been healthy? But what happens when he's not? And then you look at your wide receiver room, and I think teams are looking at their wide receiver room and realizing what they need to get better. And I think both for the NFL teams, starting to look at prospects, put their board together, and for the risers and fallers in this year's draft. Because, hey, the combine is important, as we know, but what you do on a week-in, week-out basis is more important. I think a lot of teams are reevaluating themselves and the way they do things, Chris, after what they've seen from Brock Purdy.
I mean,
and everybody passed on even the Niners.
Let's not go out of our way and be like, because I don't think that's. I think that's more so Kyle Shanahan's ability to make like dumb down the offense enough. For
no question,
players
he's playing confidently, and he's got that quotient that I think is becoming more and more important in the NFL, and that's leadership. Do guys like you or not? And I think that's important. Like a Mac Jones, how much do the Patriots actually like it? Well, the 49ers like Brock Purdy. And it shows the way they play football. But again, everybody's to blame. Even the 49ers passed on him through 6 different rounds. So it's not like anybody knew what he was. Or Puka. Look at how good he's playing and how he slipped through the cracks with the Rams and just how good of a player he's been. He's been one of the best receivers coming out of the draft. So, yes, everybody misses, but this is the time of year you find those guys because you see how they're performing against some of the best teams as all these teams kind of getting into conference play. The SEC will step back and play non-conference games here in a couple of weeks, but right now is the meat and potatoes of college football season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the evaluations that we have for players sometimes can be thrown out because it depends on where they go, it depends on who's coaching them, et cetera, et cetera. You got to be in the right system. You got to have the right amount of help around you. If you don't, then it doesn't matter how good you are. You know, like, I don't think Patrick Mahomes would be who he was if he was playing in New York. You know,
well, different team.
I just don't think so. I don't think he'd be the same guy.
Or would Tom Brady be selling insurance if he went to Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, it's
at this point,
a lot of it, it's not just, hey, this player's really talented, you got to go find him. It's also, you got to coach him up, you got to put him in the right scenario, and you got to surround him with the right people to get the most out of him. And I really do think that part is underrated. So I wanted to take time in this episode to recap how the Chiefs rookies are performing to start 2023. We're a quarter through the season now, a little bit past a quarter. And I think now we can start to get a good idea of where the development is coming along with these young rookie players in the Chiefs draft class. And so I want to start with the guy who the Chiefs took in the first round, with all that pomp and circumstance at the end of that first round there, that Thursday night. We were on the air doing our thing, me, you, and Nick. And, you know, we were kind of debating as that whole pageantry was happening, who they're going to take. I know you were pretty resolute that they were going to take Anton Harrison if he were available there. And then you also were like, and once Anton was gone, it's like, oh, they're going to trade it. I was pretty resolute. They're definitely going to go Felix Onyedike-Uzomah. They did. And thus far, he's actually gotten a decent amount of playing time because Charles Omenihu has been suspended due to personal conduct, policy violations.
One more game.
Just one more game. Just this Thursday, you know, one more and he'll be back. And I would say, you know, thus far in his very young career, Felix has shown some promise. He's only got half a sack on the season, but he has been someone that has shown some promise as far as getting pressure on the quarterback. PFF has him as one of their higher graded players from the first round, especially as an edge rusher. He's been more impressive than some of the guys that were taken above him, including guys like Will McDonald IV. And he has shown some potential, but he's got to put it together, and certainly it's going to be a little bit more difficult with Omenihu coming back, but I think he's shown some promise there.
Hey, I'm with you on that, and Felix is one of those guys, too, that you're hoping for a Carl Loftus type, you know, resurgence towards the second half of the season and start getting the sacks, because oftentimes with young pass rushers, you look at the pressure. And last year, the Chiefs in a situation where they hit the quarterback the second most times in the NFL, but you want to get that pressure going forward, as good as your defensive line, having Chris Jones back helps Felix. It just does, having a force there in the middle. And I think having a Minihue on that defensive line, whether, you know, just the attention that he'll be garnering, which he will, he'll garner attention. But what can you get from Felix? But the Chiefs have, you know, spent that draft capital in the first round on Carl Loftus, on Felix going forward. That's definitely positions you need with the edge. And I think the Chiefs have solidified that. I wasn't sure which direction they were going to go. I thought there was some built-in pressure to actually have a first-round pick
because it was here. You did all that. All that show there.
And it makes sense because the hometown guy, and you picked him in Kansas City.
Yeah, it was from a storyline standpoint. It was nice.
It was a great storyline. But yeah. I think there's actually some validity to it because, as Andy Reid said, you know, you can't have enough edges. Can't have enough good edges when you draft. So. Yeah, I think the book is still open on Felix, but I love the way it's reading.
So going to the second round, Rashee Rice, wide receiver taken out of Southern Methodist University. It's funny, I just pulled up the stats here. Rashee Rice is the second most targets on the team. behind Travis Kelce. And of the receivers that they have on the team, he's second for wide receivers in receiving yards behind Justin Watson. He's number one in wide receivers in targets.
His snap count has been kind of low.
His snap count has been very low. And you're looking at what he's done thus far, and you think at some point pretty soon they are going to have to think about giving him more snaps, even above guys like MVS, above guys like Sky Moore, because in the very short time he's been in the league, quarter of the season, he has shown that he can handle the workload that they've given him. It's time to give him more now.
Yeah, he only had, 20 snaps last time, which is 30% of the snaps the Chiefs had on offense in that game. Sky Moore ended up with 37 snaps, 56%. That, I think, will flip-flop at some point. And, you know, I was on this crusade, Chris, where I questioned quite a bit who has more pressure on them, Sky Moore in year two or Rashee Rice in year one. And I've stayed true to this. It's been Rashee Rice, because I think the Chiefs look at him as the fact that they didn't go out and get free agent wide receivers, except for the Richie James experiment that they did. But for all intents and purposes, Richie James was the big – or not Richie James. Rashee Rice was the big acquisition the Chiefs made. You know, it was through the draft in the second round. They didn't, you know, throw a bunch of darts at different wide receivers. They took Rashee Rice and Wanye Morris as offensive skill position. Wanye Morris on the offensive line – Rashee Rice at wide receiver, and in a starved wide receiver room, Rashee Rice. And we talked about it at SMU, and a lot of it has been true in the NFL. You have the drop passes, and you have the spectacular catches, and we have both. I think he's a tremendous player yards after catch. If he can get that separation, then you had that play the Mahomes talked a little bit about today where he thought Rashee Rice is going to go over the top in the end zone there, and the ball ended up going over his head. But that's a chemistry thing. You'll get going forward. It was nice to see Rashee Rice down in Texas getting acclimated with Mahomes. I think he only gets better for this team. But again, you look back at his college year. What, 96 catches his last year at SMU? The closest to him was 38 and then 28 catches. He did everything. I think his snap count will start to grow. I think he deserves the extra snaps that Sky Moore is getting at this point. And I think you're going to continue to see production from Rashee Rice going forward.
I still disagree on the point with Sky Moore, because Sky Moore is getting more snaps for a reason, because they think that he's got a lot of potential and he's not lived up to it. Rashee Rice is not getting snaps for reasons, because he's a rookie and they're trying to ease him in.
But I think the snap count will start to go up.
I do think so too. I just don't think there's more pressure on Rashee than Sky, because
I think they expect more out of Rice.
Yeah, but they don't, because they're not putting him on the field. So if you're not expecting, if you expect more out of him, why aren't you putting him on the field?
As the season progresses.
But the thing is they're still not doing it.
And you're not going to see a ton of it the next 3 weeks. Next 3 weeks, they play at teams that are 32nd in defense, 31st in defense, 32nd.
Well, they can still do it. That isn't, yeah. Playing terrible defense doesn't stop you from giving Rashee Moore snaps. Like, the thing is the reason why they're not playing him is because they're not expecting much from him. If they were, they would play him more. You don't expect much. You can't expect a lot from a guy and then not play him. Like, sure. That doesn't make any sense. Next person, Wanye Morris, tackle out of Oklahoma. This was a guy that was projected to be a right tackle, though for the Chiefs, he's actually been a left tackle. He has not played this year. He has been inactive throughout the season. You know, he's been one of the healthy scratches there. But it is very apparent, and we talked about this before, you know, after the draft. This is a guy who has left tackle potential. This is a guy who played left tackle when he was originally at Tennessee, next to Trey Smith, who's the Chiefs' starting right guard. And so we knew that he had the potential for it, and we know how the Chiefs are. The Chiefs look at guys as swing tackles. They value guys who can play on either side. And I think that Wanye Morris is what they hoped Darian Kennard would be, a project tackle that they can develop into a starter, but his rookie year, he's redshirting. And I think that's what Wanye's having go right now.
And you get a personal recommendation from Trey Smith as far as someone that played with him on a line at Tennessee. But incomplete. We just don't know enough about Wanye Morris. You can say what you want about training camp or practices or things like that, but once you get into games in the National Football League, So it's still a big incomplete on Wanye Morse. It sounds good. They're saying the right things. They like him. He's playing well with the Chiefs as far as getting the respect from that Andy Reid and that offensive line. But again, that is a tough position to go in and play as a rookie.
It is, and
because you're protecting Mahomes, by the
way. You're playing against NFL level edge rushers, yeah. And that's just a different game, man. Like, there are very few guys that you go up against at the collegiate level that will play that position at the NFL level, even in the SEC. Most of those guys will not be playing in the NFL or will be rotational guys in the NFL. So Wanye's definitely got a lot of potential. The fact that they moved him from right to left tells you a lot about what they think about him. Because
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy's just not that guy that's going to go out and make that move like that.
It also shows what they see a future hole because Jawan Taylor's not going anywhere for a while.
Right, exactly. And we obviously
and
know
Donovan
that.
Donovan Smith probably will.
We obviously know that because, you know, Donovan Smith's like, what, late 20s, early 30s?
So it makes sense to get his footwork and everything
exactly.
Acclimated
like if
to
they
the
if
side.
They were looking at Jawan Taylor as moving over to the left, then they would not have won yet.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed.
Me too. Moving on next to the fourth round pick for the Chiefs, Shamari Connor, safety out of Virginia Tech. And I think he's actually had a pretty good impact. Very quiet, but I think he's had a good impact for the team. He has been good playing in slot coverage. They have shown him a little bit as a blitzer, especially in preseason. But the thing is it's been kind of tough for them to get him time out there because Mike Edwards, the other safety that they acquired in the offseason, he's just got more experience.
And he's got experience winning a Super Bowl has been his deal. I still like Shamari Connor. I think he was drafted, you know, as maybe a sneed replacement. That's kind of what the Chiefs do is they draft your heir apparent in replacement as they've done so many times in the past. This past week against the Vikings, he only gets one snap on defense. The week before, 10. The week before that, 11. So we saw a drastic snap decline in that game because I think they wanted to stay with experience going against Justin Jefferson and everything in that passing game.
I think so, too.
But he's played 75, 77, 72, 82, and 78% of the special team snaps. And this is what you got him for. He's a four-phaser. You can put him anywhere you want on special teams. Guys, Nazi Johnson did a lot of this last year, and they were expecting him until the injury, expecting to big things out of Nazi Johnson this year. And I think Shamari Connor, it's still incomplete. It is nice to see him get out there as much as he is on special teams, though.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of promise for Connor. We both liked him when they took him. We both liked that pick. I know that was your favorite pick. That they had. And I looked at it and I was like, yeah, this is the guy. Yeah, this is a Spags player right here for
Steve made himself some money this past weekend. He just did. I mean, what he did on Justin Jefferson, the physicality he showed Justin on the line. Justin's a game wrecker, and he could have changed that game.
Right, yeah.
Because we've seen receivers take over at times against the Chiefs. But if you can get that kind of production that in your face, I mean, the Vikings were in their mouths and talking a lot of smack, but it was the Chiefs kind of leveling that. MVS took Byron Murphy and threw him to the ground, and Byron Murphy was doing all the talking.
Yeah, he was doing. He was talking about Kelsey. Yeah,
yeah, and MVS literally stiff-armed him right to his ass, right to the ground.
Yeah.
But the physicality, and I think people are forgetting just how physical this team has been, and these rookies they bring in are physical type players. And I know Sneed's not a rookie, but you know, he has grown into a man out there when he plays football. But his difference in what he was doing to Justin Jefferson, that was big time stuff from L'Jarius Sneed.
The one thing that we've kind of gathered from the Chiefs the last couple of years, they want hitters. They want violent defensive backs. So the reason why
Shamari can be that way.
Yeah, he's, you know, you watch on tape, like the violence from his hits, you notice. It's one of the things about Trent McDuffie, even though, yeah, he's great coverage, fluid hips, but the one thing that really popped out to me, willing tackler. He's a good tackler. And I've been talking about this all season long. The one thing that's helped the Chiefs defense improve so much is the fact that their DBs tackle. And so you're going to go after guys that showcase that ability to go out there and just make basic tackles really well. And Connor has shown that. And I think that's why he'll fit into what this team does. And it's the reason why I think, like, you know, should Sneed leave, which I think we both agree he will, Connor can go in and kind of play that Sneed role, that utility knife in the secondary. He can play that role really well.
You sit back, you absorb what you can.
Yeah.
And then next year, it's great, though. You're not exactly redshirting him either because he's getting that experience playing the special teams. Like you said, he's usually good enough for 10 or 11 snaps on defense. This past week, he didn't get that kind of shot against the Vikings in the passing game. But, you know, look for it in other times. I mean, look for it a lot the next 3 weeks. I expect a double-digit snap count from Shamari Connor in the next three.
So moving on to the fourth round. No, the fifth round, actually. We have B.J. Thompson, edge rusher out of Stephen F. Austin. This was a guy that, like, we knew. Like, this was such a Brett Veach pick when we saw that happen. It was like, oh, yeah, that's. I was like, I bet you that's a guy who probably played at a Power 5 school.
It's a tunnel pass.
Left, went somewhere else, went to a smaller school, and is just a great physical specimen and just doesn't have the skill worked out yet to play that position. And he was way undersized as Stephen F. Austin. He was 220 as an edge rusher, which is way too damn small. So he put on 20 pounds before the draft. And, you know, they were talking like, hey, he's going to put on more weight once he gets acclimated. He has not played this year. He has been healthy scratch every game. And I think that this is a redshirt year for him. I don't think he's going to play at all this year unless it's absolute emergency.
I don't think so either, and it's going to be hard for him to get on the field next year. It's just the position that he plays and getting out there. And again, this is, you take these reaches sometimes because you think the coaches are going to coach him up. Every GM thinks, and we've seen this in baseball as well, you think your coaching staff will take somebody next level, and we don't know. Big, huge incomplete on BJ at this point.
I don't think we can give him a grade this year.
Can't.
Because I don't think he's going to play. I don't think he's going to take a single snap.
Didn't think he was going to get played the night of the draft even.
Yeah, I think we both agreed he's not a 23 guy. No. He's a 24 and beyond guy.
Which is always scary.
Yeah, it is. But, like, again, this is a fifth round pick. This is not a guy that you're, I mean, how many fifth round picks do teams hit on? Not that much. So at this point, you're just hoping that you're just taking a guy, you're taking a gamble on a guy with high upside. And you hope that you can coach him up and he puts in the work to get better, you know, and hopefully he gets it. So at this point, yeah, I don't think we can give a grade to that. I don't think we can really put
it
a whole
lot. It kind of reminds me of a Kane Doe type pick.
Oh, it's 100% Kane Doe. Yeah. 100% Kane Doe. It was basically, yeah, Joshua Kane Doe didn't work. Okay, let's get another type like
that. You take a project on him.
Yeah.
Like a Tano Passanio type guy. Okay, this guy could.
You hated that.
It's boomer bust.
You hated boomer that bust. You were so mad when they picked Passanio.
Boomer bust, man. It's a boomer bust pick. And we could afford to do it this year.
Moving on to the sixth round. Keandre Coburn.
Snacks.
Defensive tackle out of Texas. We both really like this pick. It was a guy that we both liked. And did either of us mock him to the Chiefs? I think you did.
It's the one guy I had right.
Yes. So this year's tough because there's so much of a logjam at defensive tackle. The Chiefs are actually pretty deep on their defensive line, especially when Omenihu comes back. They don't need him this year.
He was active game one.
Yes.
He's been inactive.
And he was actually pretty good.
Yeah, he's been
pretty
active, good on the field. It surprised me. I really thought when the snap counts came out at the end of the year, he'd be one of the top rookies for the Chiefs. I was incredibly wrong on that. Because he played so much at Texas. Like, he played all the time. He's very resilient, very athletic for his size. But again, redshirt year for Keandre Coburn. I do think he'll be a fixture on this defense moving forward. I think there is big plans for him. At this point, you're hearing all the right things for Keandre Coburn. I just thought he would be. Maybe he'll start getting active as we move through the season. He was on game one, but then as we've progressed, you know, obviously not having Chris Jones helps a guy like Coburn. You know, you need more defensive line depth as you can. So we're seeing less and less, and hopefully we'll start to see a little more snacks.
I don't think he's going to play very much this year just because of depth. You know, we know how Andy is. We know how the Chiefs are. They don't want to force rookies to play if they're not ready. Like, Andy will not play someone if he does not think he's ready. And I think they look at the situation with Coburn and they're like, hey, he's talented. We had to play him week one out of necessity. And he was pretty good in the little time he had. But we've got better guys and we just got Chris Jones back. So those are going to be our priority. We're going to play our best guys. And then Coburn can learn. And if something happens to somebody gets hurt, he can come in. We trust him to play. But, you know, with Omenihu coming back, that's going to hurt his ability to get on the field even more because Omenihu's going to play a lot on the inside. Dana has been great rushing from the edge and especially from the inside. He's been excellent rushing from the three tech.
Dana's made himself some money this year.
Yeah. And he's definitely made himself some money. And I definitely think that Coburn probably is a guy that sees the field more next year. Because this might be Derek Nnadi's last year with the team, and I think Coburn kind of plays the Derek Nnadi role.
Plays that role, run stuff for a guy.
I don't think Coburn's going to be, I think they hope that Coburn can be a pass rusher on the interior, but I think for them, at the very minimum, he's going to be our designated run stopper. So, and then finally, seventh round pick for the Chiefs, cornerback out of Ball State, Nick Jones. Nick Jones, very unfortunate, suffered an injury very early early on in camp there. So he's not playing. And it's a tough situation where you've got a guy who actually was showing a lot of promise in camp. And then you get an injury from him and that kind of affects his status. And he wasn't going to play a whole lot anyways this year just because of mainly just because of the fact that you've got such a deep wide receiver, a cornerback class, but special teams is really kind of where his contribution is.
Special teams, he played 65% of the snaps against the Jets, 46% against the Vikings.
Yeah.
Still zero defensive snaps.
Yeah, and he's
special
not.
Teams the only time.
And I just don't think he's going to get that.
Was inactive the first 3 weeks of the season.
Right.
So at least it's trending in the right direction. They're using for special teams.
Yeah, and he broke his hand. He broke some fingers, which I broke a finger earlier this year. It sucked. So I get it. It's very unfortunate. But yeah, he's probably not going to play very much, if at all, on defense. Special teams, though. That's really kind of
at least he's getting out there and Shamari Connor in it.
Yeah. And that's how you're going to work your way up the roster, and you can get some playing time being a really strong defensive player. I mean, a really strong special teams player. You can work your way up there. So overall, I think this was one of those classes where this was not a class about immediate impact. This was a class of we're going to just make some lottery picks here. We're going to pick some numbers for the lottery, and we'll hope that we win. But this is more about finding the best talent you can. The only player I look at as someone that's probably going to see a really increased impact throughout the season is Rashee Rice. I think Rashee Rice is the only person we could look at right now and say that person deserves more time on the field. Everyone else, I think the team's going to take slowly and work their way along, and then we'll kind of see maybe next year them ramping up their roles.
It was a definitely a Chiefs played house money in the draft this year. Last year they needed him, so he had five rookie defensive backs playing in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Again, only two teams had more snaps by rookies, and they were picking one and two in the draft, and the Chiefs won it. This was more playing house money. Rashee Rice is the one guy that's probably going to be more excited than any of the – I'm excited about Felix and those guys going forward, but Rashee Rice is the guy I'm really, really interested to see where he fits in this wide receiver room. See where he fits. Is he fit as the number two wide receiver? Is he fit as the three? Where is his role going to end up with the Chiefs?
Yeah. Like I said, I think Rashee, I don't know if he's a future number one receiver for the team, but I think with what we've seen from him, at the very least, he could be a very strong number two, and you'll take that. You'll take that. So moving on to our weekly prospect recap, we got some guys who had some really strong weeks this past weekend. Starting off with Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., who showcased why he's the top receiver in this draft class. 8 catches, 163 yards, and a touchdown this week for Ohio State. Ohio State was actually in a battle there. They weren't out here blowing out the odds like they usually do. They were in a battle this week.
It's not been as easy for Ohio State going forward,
because the quarterback position has not been the same.
But Marvin Harrison Jr. continues to show why he's the top receiving prospect in the country. It's not even close. Nearly 500 yards receiving now, 25 catches on the year and 4 touchdowns. He has just been a man amongst boys. I mean, he's killing Igbuka, over 200 yards more than him. But you're starting to see more, like 3 of the last 4 games, 163, 126, and 160. Did have that 3-for-32 against Notre Dame. Wasn't a big problem for the Fighting Irish in that game. But he's had some Marvin Harrison Jr. type games the last 3. Or 3 of the last 4, excuse me.
Then moving on to UCLA edge rusher Laia Tuilagi. He had a sack on this past weekend, and now he's just starting to really make his case, I think, for being one of, if not the top edge rusher taken in this draft class. I've been talking about him for the last month or so.
He's getting more runs, showing more than
he's showing. And not only that, but UCLA's defense is really good,
actually. And a big win for UCLA.
Big win for them. They got another big game coming up this weekend. This is a very competitive Pac-12 conference, which is crazy because it's the last year it's going to be around. And UCLA is really making a strong case there for being able to compete for that conference. And Laia Tuilagi has been a major part of that. Then you've got Georgia tight end Brock Bowers, who I think at this point now is starting to separate himself from Jatavion Sanders. I think he's been doing it for the last couple weeks. This past weekend, he had 7 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown. I think at this point now, he's by far now the best tight end in this draft class.
I think you make an argument he's the best player in college football as far as skill position players, and he's starting to creep up the Heisman odds, which is unusual to see a tight end.
I told you, like, if Georgia continues to be dominant, he's going to be in the running.
Well, the one thing about Bowers is, I mean, think about these last 3 weeks, Chris. 7-for-132, 8-for-157, 9-for-121, 4 touchdowns in that mix. He has been everything. And people were waiting for Georgia to finally break out. Well, they did. This was their statement game. They played a ranked team in Kentucky, 51-13 over a ranked team. Carson Beck, I think, going to start getting some run as well, because he's not even listed amongst top quarterbacks coming out in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's
been saying the indications he wants to stay, but still he's a junior. He can do whatever he wants.
I think a lot of it is just people don't know who the hell he is, and so if you don't know who he is, you're not going to list him up top there if you haven't seen much of him, so I get it. Then moving on to our guy
first year starting,
I think we both I think is the number two guy. And Jatavion Sanders, tight end out of Texas. Not a good week this week. One catch for 13 yards.
And they needed him.
They did need him.
It's who you're playing.
Yeah.
And it was Oklahoma.
I think the ankle injury probably played a major factor in his lack of production this week. So I'm willing to give him a pass for that. We both know. I mean, you played football. I played football, soccer, all these other sports. You get an ankle injury, that thing just doesn't just go away. It lingers, you know. I know professional athletes who have issues with ankle injuries. I had issues with ankle injuries. I that's the reason why I usually wear high-top shoes. Because I gotta wear them because I'm prone to sprained ankles. So I get it. Once you sprain your ankle, it is something that you just don't get over that easily. It can linger for weeks, especially if it's a high ankle. So I imagine, yeah, Jatavion probably doesn't have the same kind of speed, same ability to cut, and hopefully it's not something that lingers, because if it does, it could affect his draft stock, because teams might be looking at him and be like, oh, he's not that dude, and hopefully that's not the case. I don't want him to lose money on this. Unless it results in him getting picked by the Chiefs. Even though, yeah, it's like, you know, once you get around that, the late 20s, early 30s is not a huge difference between the contracts there. And then another tight end out of Kansas State, Ben Sinnott, had four catches for 39 and a touchdown. Not blowing me away, but you see promise.
Yeah, you see promise, and I think a lot of it comes down to his quarterback, Will Howard, not really putting in a position, because Ben Sinnott should have been a guy. He needs to be a go-to guy for Kansas State, and you didn't see it. Brock Bowers has clearly always been that guy for Georgia. He continues to get better. This is part of the season where you see, when you see Ben Sinnott start to shine. And I think had he got more targets in that game, then maybe a different result. Is Kansas State really in a battle with Oklahoma State? But Ben Sinnott was a guy that I think was a lot of byproduct of Will Howard struggling in that game.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Will Howard he's cost Kansas State a lot this year. Turnovers just... And it's not like you got folding coverage. He's just heaving the ball down the field and it's getting picked off. It's like double coverage.
It was a bad night.
They're all bad. All of his picks are bad. They're not like, hey, that's a great play by the defender. No, it's like, that's a terrible pick that you should have never thrown in the first place. Then you've got LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers, six catches, 146 yards, and a touchdown. I think he solidified himself as the number two receiver in this draft class. Just production-wise, consistent. This man is it. Like, if we were doing like college football fantasy, I mean, he'd have to be the top wide receiver in college football fantasy.
If it wasn't for Marvin Harrison Jr. this year, I'd say okay. Another guy that I really like on that LSU team, though, and I think he's really starting to climb, Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
This is the guy, keep in mind, 6'4", but he's got 9 touchdowns already. Like, he is a touchdown machine, Brian Thomas. I mean, is he a byproduct of everybody giving Malik Nabers attention this year? Maybe. But the 9 touchdowns, but what a pairing that is between Brian Thomas. We've seen a lot of these great pairings with wide receivers and quarterbacks this year in college football. Malik Nabers is just special. Well, that was a great game for wide receiver talent with Luther Burden in that game.
Right,
well,
yeah,
Luther's
Burden's
not
great.
Draft eligible this year.
Yeah.
But Luther Burden, he would make a case
for being that number one.
He's number one in receptions and yards.
I think this year he would make a strong case. If he were draft eligible, he would make a very strong case for a top wide receiver.
I still think Marvin Harrison Jr. would go above, but certainly
I could see someone talking themselves into it, especially if Burden had a really strong combine. If he had a strong combine and a really strong pro day, I think he would work himself above Marvin Harrison Jr. And then finally, edge rusher out of Florida State. 2 sacks.
So big game for Jared.
Now he's got 2.5 sacks on the season because he got half a sack like 3 weeks ago.
He dominated for Jared.
No, it was like a month ago. But he finally had a great game. 2 sacks on the season. So now he's at 2.5 on the season. This is the kind of performance that he needed to have in order to resurrect his draft stock.
No question about it. I'll be watching this week. I know Syracuse took a bad loss last week, but the Syracuse-Florida State game is definitely one I want to watch, because I want to sit there and watch Johnny Wilson, watch Jared Verse, and watch these different prospects for Florida State. So I will be – we'll see if Jared Verse can keep that momentum going. See if I can watch a game and think, okay, this guy's starting to dominate and take over a game like he did last week. Can he do it this week against Syracuse? Bet he does.
Yeah, I think so too. So moving on to guys who made themselves some money, our money makers for the week. I'm starting with Northern Illinois' running back. I think it's Ontario Brown. He had 13 attempts for 280 yards rushing, four touchdowns. On the season, he's got 616 yards and five touchdowns. Obviously, that number's been buoyed by 280
yards. Carry.
That's what I'm saying. That's obviously, it's been buoyed by the fact that he got 280 yards in a single game. But now you're looking at another running back that could be a third day or even undrafted that could come into a team and actually be a really good acquisition and you know, be someone that could contribute to a team's backfield.
There's some quality running backs in this year's draft class. You know, but again, fifth, sixth, seventh rounders, and even the big market last year was the undrafted free agent running backs, not even drafted, getting taken. But Ontario Brown, stand up for the Mac. Chiefs like Mac running backs, by the way.
They do. They do.
That's where Kareem Hunt came out of.
So. Yep, they do like those guys. Another guy out there, Colorado State edge rusher Muhammad Kamara. Three sacks this past weekend. He's got nine sacks on the season. He leads the FBS in sacks. And I'm going to tell you this, man, like, teams care about production. He's got good size, about 6'3", 245. You know, some systems might want him to add a little bit of weight, but the thing about him is that when you're incredibly productive at that level, teams are going to give you a look, especially because, especially, you know, third day, I think he's probably third day, but teams are going to want to get someone with some production who's got some moves. And you gotta have some moves if you're getting out here and getting nine sacks in half the season.
Yeah, it really shows you in Colorado State a few prospects as well this year. But having nine sacks dominates. Of course, that Colorado game was a game that they give up a lot of sacks. So it's a bad offensive line that they end up going with there. But we'll see where he can end up on this. But again, we've seen more and more quality edges drafted in the mid rounds. It used to be the first rounder. Forget about it. You look at top 20 sackers in the NFL, which I have the last couple of years, and it is like 60 or 70% drafted in the first round, if not higher at certain times.
Yeah, but now you're starting to find some depth second day, third day. Teams are finding good, if not great, pass rushers there. I mean, we've seen the Chiefs. You know, Chris Jones is a second round pick. Mike Dana was a fifth round pick.
They have him 25th best edge on Draft Buzz.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
that's mid round.
That's mid round, and he could work his way up, especially if he has a strong combine. If he has a strong combine with this kind of production, he could work his way up into late first round, if not second day. I think he's got a lot of potential there. So definitely a guy to watch out for. Then a guy you brought up to me last week.
Torrey Holton as well from that team.
Another guy you brought up to me last week after he had a big performance against Kansas. Texas running back Jonathan Brooks.
Oh, Jonathan.
This past weekend against Oklahoma, 22 carries, 129 yards, and a touchdown on the season. He has 726 rushing yards, six touchdowns. He also has 10 catches for 121 yards. Right now, he's third in the FBS in rushing yards. He is really showing you that he could be a really good second-day running back.
Again, there's a bunch of these guys. Ray Davis at Kentucky, Jonathan Brooks.
Oh, yeah, who just tore my Florida Gators up when they played Kentucky.
He would have been in the moneymakers last week.
Yeah,
we'll see what he does against Missouri. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see.
Kentucky and Missouri's guys have fun skill position guys. But Brooks, I mean, again, good game, great competition against a rival showing up. Texas did not get the win over Oklahoma, but Jonathan Brooks continues to look solid.
And then another guy who is not draft eligible, but certainly you want to look out for 2025, safety out of Buffalo, Devin Grant. Three picks this past weekend. Two of them were pick sixes. Right now he's tied for the lead in the FBS with four picks on the season. Again, this is a true sophomore, really showing a lot of those skills there as a ball hawk.
And being able to return it.
And being able to return it for a touchdown,
too.
Two of them in that game there. I'm really impressed by this kid. He's really starting. You're starting to hear some buzz about him on the draft circles for 25.
Leipold needs to get him in that transfer portal.
Yeah, I'm sure that somebody's going to try to scoop him up in the transfer portal.
He wasn't there when Leipold was there, but
because he's a sophomore. Yeah.
Hey, Leipold staff, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, we're at Wisconsin Whitewater with Leipold at Buffalo with him, and at Kansas. So certainly a Buffalo guy on the radar.
This could be a monster transfer for somebody.
Absolutely.
And he could be a first-round safety if he continues playing like this.
I added a couple here, Chris, because you see their stock kind of going up, especially in the Heisman conversation. And could he get drafted? I mean, the guy that's played, what, 5 years of college football, played at UCF, Dylan Gabriel, 285 yards passing, 113 yards rushing. But the thing that impressed me most about Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback of Oklahoma, undefeated Oklahoma, is he led that game-winning drive. I want to see what a quarterback does against the rival, and can he carry his football team down the field and get a touchdown. And Dylan Gabriel, not going to be a first-rounder whatsoever, but will be a guy drafted in the NFL as a quarterback. But what he did in that game was impressive. And the other guy, and this guy is so much fun to watch. This might be the most fun quarterback to watch in college football. The LSU defense sucks. Their offense is championship caliber. Jaden Daniels, he won the game against Missouri. 259 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 130 yards rushing. That rushing killed Missouri. And 1 touchdown. The week before, by the way, against Ole Miss, 414 passing, 4 touchdown. He ran for 99. So the last 2 weeks, Chris, 9 touchdowns, 673 yards passing, 229 yards rushing for Jaden Daniels. That is moving up charts when you put 9 touchdowns against, not Middle Tennessee State. You're doing it against Ole Miss and Missouri.
Gabriel's probably a day 3 guy, but I think Jaden Daniels has probably locked himself in as a day 2 guy.
I think so,
probably
too.
Probably a second round pick.
But it's the versatility of doing both. Being able to throw the ball well, run the ball well. Both these guys showing kind of what the modern NFL wants, but I think those guys definitely are some money makers.
I think they could be good acquisitions for teams who've got good quarterbacks, but maybe they're getting up there in age, or maybe that player has some injury issues or whatnot, or maybe a contract's coming up and they're like, I mean, our quarterback's mediocre, but we can develop an improvement. He's going to be a guy I could see someone taking, you know, kind of like what you saw with like Detroit and Hendon Hooker, where they took him and it's like, okay, he's not going to play anytime soon, but maybe we can develop him into the next starting quarterback for us. So, he's showing something.
And here's the one thing about the Chiefs, Chris. I do think they're in the market to develop another quarterback. Shane Buechele was that kind of development guy that was an undrafted guy. But again, I'm not saying out of the equation the Chiefs don't throw a dart at a quarterback in the later rounds. Just
maybe
the back of Mahomes. They're never going to start.
Maybe on the third day.
But yeah, third day, but develop a quarterback behind Mahomes, because there's only a certain amount of veteran quarterbacks you can go out and grab. They did it this year with Blaine Gabbert. So they jettisoned the Shane Buechele, but again, a guy kind of in that mold.
I don't think they will. I kind of feel like the Chiefs are just one of those teams, like, we want vets behind Mahomes. And you look at it like, even behind Alex, it was all vets. They weren't developing rookies behind Alex. They were generally having some vets there, you know, save for like a Aaron Murray or Tyler Bray. But like, they didn't think those guys were going to be anything. Yeah. That was a shot in the dark. That was a B.J. Thompson type deal. But they valued experience at the backup quarterback spot. So, moving on to our watch list for Week 7. A lot of strong matchups this week. Again, last week had some really strong – last 2 weeks, really strong matchups. This one, though, really good as well. Starting out Friday night, Stanford takes on Colorado in Boulder. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders is going to be someone to watch for. Right now, he leads the FBS in passing yards. So he's out here slinging it. They don't have a defense at all, but he's out here slinging it.
But Stanford sucks. This will be Stanford's a major stat game for Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah. And then
Stanford's about as bad as I've seen.
And then Xavier Weaver, their top wide receiver, he is also someone to look out for in this game.
It
as
looks
well.
Like Travis Hunter, even though he won't be draft eligible this year, you're still talking about what a top 5 pick probably for the following year. Coming off the injury,
Is he back now?
But it looks like he could play. That's the kind of the latest on him.
So that he's not
locked in, but he's been practicing.
He'll be competing with Burden next year for top wide receiver.
Yeah.
Then moving on to Saturday, you've got Georgia taking on Vandy. This is going to be a beatdown for Georgia. They are going to destroy Vandy. This is going to be a game you expect Brock Bowers to eat.
He has been. The last 3 games.
Yeah, he's going to be
incredible.
He's going to have a hell of a first half there.
And Carson Beck, the quarterback's been making some money the last couple weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Then you have Indiana going up to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. I mean, this is a game full of talent on the Michigan side. You got J.J. McCarthy, a quarterback, could be a first-round quarterback.
I think he is.
I think you've got two running backs who are probably going to be maybe late first, if not second round, that being Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. Both of those guys are going to be hits wherever they go. And then you got defensive tackle Chris Jenkins for Michigan as well. So especially Chris Jenkins, I would say, is someone you guys should watch. But McCarthy's going to be interesting because of the hierarchy there with the draft. Because, again, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft class.
If you win the Super Bowl, you're picking 32. In reality, you're picking 24.
Yeah. So it's you know, that's going to be interesting there. Then you've got Ohio State taking on Purdue. Obviously, wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Egbuka. But then on the defensive side, you've got Tyleek Williams, who's been working his way up draft charts, could be a first-round pick at defensive tackle. You have Michael Hall Jr. as a potential, probably second or third day defensive tackle. And then both of their edge rushers, JT Tuimoloau and then Jack Sawyer on the other side, both of those guys, I expect JT to be a first round pick. Sawyer probably second day, but both of those guys are going to be interesting to watch here as well, because edge rusher really kind of rules the draft.
And the sack number's down a little bit for Sawyer, 6.5 the year before. 3 the year before that, only half a sack this year. Ohio State's one of these teams loaded, not just one player at each position, but two.
Yes. Yeah, they generally are a team that recruits so well, they overload on talent. Then you got Syracuse taking on Florida State. You've got both, again, a two wide receiver team there with Johnny Wilson Jr., Keon Coleman. Johnny Wilson Jr. is going to be the safe guy, I think, in the draft. Keon Coleman, I think, is going to be the upside guy who's, you know, somebody's going to take because they're like, okay, we think this guy's going to be the best receiver here. I put Jared Verse on here now for now because he had a 2-sack game and he looked like he might be fine.
Jared Verse. I want to see him.
I want to see number 5 do something.
The other guy I threw on here, Chris, was Gene Bell. It's the guy that I put on here the last couple weeks. Only 10 catches on the year. But you look at a lot of draft charts, you know, the 4th, 5th best tight end in college football. He's undersized, but definitely a top 5 tight end. He transferred from South Carolina, where he played originally. Supposed to play. This from the coach. Banged up last week, very limited in practice. So it looks like we're going to see him play in the game. Definitely get more than 7 snaps like he did last week. But watch Jaheim Bell with those great Florida State wide receivers, because, again, he's in the 230 pound range. But Jaheim Bell is incredibly athletic.
Arkansas taking on Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Here, obviously, edge, Dallas Turner, probably the top edge rusher in this draft class. Probably the top corner in this draft class, Kool-Aid McKinstry, another guy to watch for Alabama. And defensive tackle McKinley Jackson as well. Going to be some interesting guys to watch on that Alabama
and
team.
And the Chiefs love SEC guys. Brett Veach was an SEC scout in Philadelphia. He's one in Kansas City. I threw a couple of their corners on here because I think this defensive backfield pretty damn good for Alabama. And Terry and Arnold, the corner. And Malachi Moore, who plays that star position at Alabama. And you might know star position Brian Branch. He plays it. He played at Alabama before Malachi Moore. Of course, he got that pick 6 for Detroit against Kansas City in week 1. And J.C. Latham, who's a kind of a top 5 offensive tackle, playing on the right side, can play left side. But J.C. Latham, the tackle for Alabama, definitely someone to watch as well.
A top 10 matchup, Oregon taking on Washington in Seattle. You've got Bo Nix for Oregon at quarterback spot, could be a first-round quarterback. And then you've got a loaded Washington offense, Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback, Rome Odunze at wide receiver. The other wide receiver on the other side is Jalen McMillan, and then slot receiver is going to
be. My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kemps for 280 yards rushing, four touchdowns. On the season, he's got 616 yards and five touchdowns. Obviously, that number's been buoyed by 280 yards.
Carry.
That's what I'm saying. That's obviously, it's been buoyed by the fact that he got 280 yards in a single game. But now you're looking at another running back that could be a third day or even undrafted that could come into a team and actually be a really good acquisition and you know, be someone that could contribute to a team's backfield.
There's some quality running backs in this year's draft class. You know, but again, fifth, sixth, seventh rounders, and even the big market last year was the undrafted free agent running backs. Not even drafted, getting taken. But Antonio Brown, stand up for the Mac. Chiefs like Mac running backs, by the way.
They do. They do.
That's where Kareem Hunt came out of.
So. Yep, they do like those guys. Another guy out there, Colorado State edge rusher Muhammad Kamara. Three sacks this past weekend. He's got nine sacks on the season. He leads the FBS in sacks. And I'm going to tell you this, man. Like, teams care about production. He's got good size, about 6'3", 245. You know, some systems might want him to add a little bit of weight, but the thing about him is that when you're incredibly productive at that level, teams are going to give you a look, especially because, especially, you know, third day, I think he's probably third day, but teams are going to want to get someone with some production who's got some moves, and you gotta have some moves if you're getting out there and getting nine sacks in half the season.
Yeah, it really shows you in Colorado State a few prospects as well this year. But having nine sacks dominates. Of course, that Colorado game was a game that they give up a lot of sacks. So it's a bad offensive line that they end up going with there. But we'll see where he can end up on this. But again, we've seen more and more quality edges drafted in the mid rounds. It used to be the first rounder. Forget about it. You look at top 20 sackers in the NFL, which I have the last couple of years. And it is like 60 or 70% drafted in the first round, if not higher at certain times.
Yeah, but now that's you're starting to find some depth second day, third day. Teams are finding good, if not great, pass rushers there. I mean, we've seen the Chiefs. You know, Chris Jones was a second round pick. Mike Dana was a fifth round pick.
They have 25th best edge on Draft Buzz.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
That's mid round.
That's mid round, and he could work his way up, especially if he has a strong combine. If he has a strong combine with this kind of production, he could work his way up into late first round, if not second day. I think he's got a lot of potential there. So definitely a guy to watch out for. Then a guy you brought up to me last week.
Torrey Holton after, as well from that team.
Another guy you brought up to me last week after he had a big performance against Kansas, Texas running back Jonathan Brooks.
Oh, Jonathan.
This past weekend against Oklahoma, 22 carries, 129 yards, and a touchdown on the season. He has 726 rushing yards, six touchdowns. He also has 10 catches for 121 yards. Right now he's third in the FBS in rushing yards. He is really showing you that he could be a really good second-day running back.
Again, there's a bunch of these guys. Ray Davis at Kentucky, Jonathan Brooks.
Oh, yeah, who just tore my Florida Gators up when they played Kentucky.
He would have been in the moneymakers last week.
Yeah, he was.
We'll see what he does against Missouri.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see.
Kentucky and Missouri, these guys have fun skill position guys. But Brooks, I mean, again, good game, great competition against a rival showing up. Texas did not get the win over Oklahoma, but Jonathan Brooks continues to look solid.
And then another guy who is not draft eligible, but certainly you want to look out for 2025, safety out of Buffalo, Devin Grant. Three picks this past weekend. Two of them were pick sixes. Right now he's tied for the lead in the FBS with four picks on the season. again, this is a true sophomore, really showing a lot of those skills there as a ball hawk.
And being able to return it.
And being able to return it for a touchdown,
too.
Two of them in that game there. I'm really impressed by this kid. He's really starting. You're starting to hear some buzz about him on the draft circles for 25.
Leipold needs to get him in that transfer portal.
Yeah, I'm sure that somebody's going to try to scoop him up in the transfer portal.
He wasn't there when Leipold was there, but
because he's a sophomore. Yeah.
Hey, Leipold staff, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, we're at Wisconsin Whitewater with Leipold, at Buffalo with him. And at Kansas, so certainly a Buffalo guy on the radar.
This could be a monster transfer for somebody.
Absolutely.
And he could be a first-round safety if he continues playing like this.
I added a couple here, Chris, because you see their stock kind of going up, especially in the Heisman conversation. And can you get drafted? I mean, the guy that's played, what, 5 years of college football, played at UCF, Dylan Gabriel, 285 yards passing, 113 yards rushing. But the thing that impressed me most about Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback of Oklahoma, undefeated Oklahoma, is he led that game-winning drive. I want to see what a quarterback does against the rival, and can he carry his football team down the field and get a touchdown. And Dylan Gabriel, not going to be a first-rounder whatsoever, but will be a guy drafted in the NFL as a quarterback. But what he did in that game was impressive. And the other guy, and this guy is so much fun to watch. This might be the most fun quarterback to watch in college football. The LSU defense sucks. Their offense is championship caliber. Jaden Daniels, he won the game against Missouri. 259 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 130 yards rushing. That rushing killed Missouri in 1 touchdown. The week before, by the way, against Ole Miss, 414 passing, 4 touchdown. He ran for 99. So the last 2 weeks, Chris, 9 touchdowns, 673 yards passing, 229 yards rushing for Jaden Daniels. That is moving up charts. When you put 9 touchdowns against, not Middle Tennessee State, you're doing it against Ole Miss and Missouri.
Gabriel's probably a day 3 guy, but I think Jaden Daniels has probably locked himself in as a day 2 guy.
I think so,
probably
too.
Probably a second round pick.
But it's the versatility of doing both. Being able to throw the ball well, run the ball well. Both these guys showing kind of what the modern NFL wants, but I think those guys definitely are some money makers.
I think they could be good acquisitions for teams who've got good quarterbacks. But maybe they're getting up there in age, or maybe that player has some injury issues or whatnot, or maybe a contract's coming up and they're like, I mean, our quarterback's mediocre, but we can develop an improvement. He's going to be a guy I could see someone taking, you know, kind of like what you saw with like Detroit and Hendon Hooker, where they took him and it's like, okay, he's not going to play anytime soon, but maybe we can develop him into the next starting quarterback for us. So, he's showing something.
And here's the one thing about the Chiefs, Chris. I do think they're in the market to develop another quarterback. Shane Buechel was that kind of development guy that was an undrafted guy. But again, I'm not saying out of the equation the Chiefs don't throw a dart at a quarterback in the later rounds. Just
maybe
the back of Mahomes. They're never going to start.
Maybe on the third day.
But yeah, third day, but develop a quarterback behind Mahomes, because there's only a certain amount of veteran quarterbacks you can go out and grab. They did it this year with Blaine Gabbert. So they jettisoned the Shane Buechel. But again, a guy kind of in that mold.
I don't think they will. I kind of feel like the Chiefs are just one of those teams, like we want vets behind Mahomes. And you look at it like even behind Alex, it was all vets. They weren't developing rookies behind Alex. They were generally having some vets there, you know, save for like a Aaron Murray or Tyler Bray. But like they didn't think those guys were going to be anything.
Yeah.
That was a shot in the dark. That was a B.J. Thompson type deal. But they valued experience at the backup quarterback spot. So moving on to our watch list for week 7. A lot of strong matchups this week. Again, last week had some really strong – last 2 weeks, really strong matchups. This one, though, really good as well. Starting out Friday night, Stanford takes on Colorado in Boulder. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders is going to be someone to watch for. Right now he leads the FBS in passing yards. So he's out here slinging it. They don't have a defense at all, but he's out here slinging it.
But Stanford sucks. This
yeah,
will be
Stanford's
a
not
major
good.
Stat game for Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah. And then
Stanford's about as bad as I've seen.
And then Xavier Weaver, their top wide receiver, he is also someone to look out for in this game.
It
as
looks
well.
Like Travis Hunter, even though he won't be draft eligible this year, you're still talking about what a top 5 pick probably for the following year. Coming off the injury,
that's a guy to watch. Is he back
State.
Now?
But it looks like he could play. That's the kind of the latest on him.
So that and yeah,
not locked in, but he's been practicing.
He'll be competing with Burden next year for top wide receiver.
Yeah.
Then moving on to Saturday, you've got Georgia taking on Vandy. This is going to be a beatdown for Georgia. They are going to destroy Vandy. This is going to be a game you expect Brock Bowers to eat.
He has been. We said the last three games.
Yeah, he's gonna
incredible.
He's going to have a hell of a first half there.
And Carson Beck, the quarterback's been making some money the last couple weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Then you have Indiana going up to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. I mean, this is a game full of talent on the Michigan side. You got J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. Could be a first-round quarterback.
I think he is.
I think you've got two running backs who are probably going to be maybe late first, if not second round, that being Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. Both of those guys are going to be hits wherever they go. And then you got defensive tackle Chris Jenkins for Michigan as well. So especially Chris Jenkins, I would say, is someone you guys should watch. But McCarthy's going to be interesting because of the hierarchy there with the draft. Because, again, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft class.
If you win the Super Bowl, you're picking 32. In reality, you're picking 24.
Yeah. So it's you know, that's going to be interesting there. Then you've got Ohio State taking on Purdue. Obviously, wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Egbuka. But then on the defensive side, you've got Tyleek Williams, who's been working his way up draft charts. Could be a first-round pick at defensive tackle. You have Michael Hall Jr. as a potential probably second or third day defensive tackle. And then both of their edge rushers, JT Tuimoloau and then Jack Sawyer on the other side, both of those guys, I expect JT to be a first-round pick. Sawyer probably second day, but both of those guys are going to be interesting to watch here as well because edge rusher really kind of rules the draft.
And the sack number's down a little bit for Sawyer, 6.5 the year before. 3 the year before that, only half a sack this year. Ohio State's one of these teams loaded, not just one player at each position, but two.
Yes. Yeah, they generally are a team that recruits so well, they overload on talent. Then you got Syracuse taking on Florida State. You've got both, again, a two wide receiver team there with Johnny Wilson Jr., Keon Coleman. Johnny Wilson Jr. is going to be the safe guy, I think, in the draft. Keon Coleman, I think, is going to be the upside guy who's, you know, somebody's going to take because they're like, okay, we think this guy's going to be the best receiver here. I put Jared Verse on here now for now because he had a 2-sack game and he looked like he might be fine.
Jared Verse. I
want to see number 5 do something.
The other guy I threw on here, Chris, was Gene Bell. It's the guy that I put on here last couple weeks. Only 10 catches on the year. But you look at a lot of draft charts, you know, the 4th, 5th best tight end in college football. He's undersized, but definitely a top 5 tight end. He transferred from South Carolina, where he played originally. Supposed to play. This from the coach. Banged up last week, very limited in practice. So it looks like we're going to see him play in the game. Definitely get more than 7 snaps like he did last week. But watch Jaheim Bell with those great Florida State wide receivers because, again, he's in the 230 pound range. But Jaheim Bell is incredibly athletic.
Arkansas taking on Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Here, obviously, edge, Dallas Turner, probably the top edge rusher in this draft class. Probably the top corner in this draft class, Kool-Aid McKinstry, another guy to watch for Alabama. And defensive tackle McKinley Jackson as well. Going to be some interesting guys to watch on that Alabama
and
team.
And the Chiefs love SEC guys. Brett Veach was an SEC scout in Philadelphia. He's one in Kansas City. I threw a couple of their corners on here because I think this defensive backfield pretty damn good for Alabama. And Terry and Arnold, the corner. And Malachi Moore, who plays that star position at Alabama. And you might know star position Brian Branch. He plays it. He played at Alabama before Malachi Moore. Of course, he got that pick 6 for Detroit against Kansas City in week 1. And J.C. Latham, who's a kind of a top 5 offensive tackle, playing on the right side, can play left side. But J.C. Latham, the tackle for Alabama, definitely someone to watch as well.
A top 10 matchup, Oregon taking on Washington. In Seattle, you've got Bo Nix for Oregon at quarterback spot. Could be a first-round quarterback. And then you've got a loaded Washington offense. Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback. Rome Odunze at wide receiver. The other wide receiver on the other side is Jalen McMillan. And then slot receiver is going to be Jalen Polk. I think all three of these receivers, I think for sure Odunze is a first-round pick. I think that McMillan could very well be a first-round pick.
He's been banged up a little bit.
Yeah, he's been banged up, but I think there's a good shot that he could be a first-round pick, maybe late, if not early second. And then Jalen Polk, second-day guy as well.
And the one thing about Polk is, Chris, you know he's been on my radar the whole season. I keep talking about Jalen Polk. DraftBuzz is now moving over to the 12th receiver. You couldn't even find me before the season. We're talking about risers. With Jalen McMillan missing a couple games there, Jalen Polk has taken over. Again, we talk about great, you know, double wide receivers like Ohio State has two. You look at LSU with Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers. You look at Washington, there's not a better wide receiver room in the country top to bottom than Washington with Michael Penix.
I know, and there's some really good wide receiver rooms.
And getting used to a left-handed quarterback.
Ohio State, Florida State, and
with
yet,
and yet
you've got Washington, and they've got the best one in the country right now. Then you've got Auburn taking on LSU, obviously Malik Nabers. You've got Jaden Daniels. You've got Mason Smith, defensive tackle for LSU. Defensive tackle Mekhi Wingo as well.
And then Brian Thomas, the other wide receiver with Malik.
Yes. So they've got some options. There's certainly a lot of talent. The LSU generally is stock full of talent.
And I put a guard in there for him, too. Keep an eye on Garrett Dellinger, kind of a mid-round guy who plays center. Because, again, an Andy Reid type guy, you get the mid-rounds. You know, he can play center, can play guard, can move all up and down, play anywhere, actually, on the offensive line. But keep an eye on Garrett Dellinger. He'll start a guard for LSU.
K-State takes on Texas Tech. In Lubbock, you've got Ben Sinnott, tight end for Kansas State, and also guard Cooper Beebe, who's, I think Cooper's probably going to be a first-round pick at guard.
I think so. I think K-State has themselves a first-round pick again this year in Cooper.
Then you've got another ranked matchup here, USC taking on Notre Dame in South Bend. Caleb Williams, obviously, will be every game he plays in is going to be notable because he's probably going to be the top quarterback taken.
I was up till 1:30 in the morning with Mr. Notable not have a great game against Arizona.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. Then you got the quarterback on the other sideline there with Sam Hartman. He's going to be over there. Autryk Estime, which I figured out how to say his last
Estime.
Name. Autryk Estime, running back out of Notre Dame, who no longer is the lead rusher in college football, though he's still having a great year. Both tackles for Notre Dame, Joe Alt, Blake Fisher, and Cam Hart, cornerback as
it's
well.
It's a corner that I really like, Cam Hart for Notre Dame.
Then you've got Miami, who's coming off a devastating loss to Georgia Tech, where they just blew it. They could have kneeled it.
It's one of three coaches' decisions. I thought that was just head scratchers.
You could have kneeled it, and instead you decided to run it. Fumble gets, you know, they, two plays later they score a touchdown.
They
know.
Deserve to lose, but by the way, that wasn't a fumble.
It wasn't a fumble, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You should have kneeled it. So, obviously Drake May is going to be someone to watch for here. Him and Penix, I think, are battling out for number two quarterback. Both tackles for Miami, Zion Nelson, Francis Maui-Goa, guys to watch for. Then you got a couple of guys here that you've added to this list.
Yeah, safety James Williams, quarterback Tyler Van Dyke. Again, I was really looking forward to this matchup until Miami inexplicably lost.
And Van Dyke didn't play very well last week, but still, like, somebody who could be a second-day pick in the draft, we'll obviously see. But, yeah, certainly not a great performance from him last
But James
year.
Williams is someone to watch at safety for Miami. He's 6'5", 215.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's a very, very big safety.
He's thumper. I mean, you don't see many safeties at 6'5". I mean, he's a noticeable player on that field.
Yeah, you don't see very many players who are not linemen who are 6'5", in there, or quarterbacks. Like, there's usually if a guy is 6'5", he's playing on the line. They're not playing a skill position. So that's
been a second on the team in tackles last year. Yeah.
Then finally, we've got UCLA, number 18 UCLA, taking on number 15 Oregon. Guys, look out for DJ Uiagalelei, quarterback for.
Say it again.
Uiagalelei.
You're nailing names, man. It's funny seeing the announcers try to DJ. They just call him DJ.
Yeah, DJ. I know. I don't blame him. That one took some practice there. Yeah, but nice DJ Uiagalelei is starting quarterback for Oregon State, former Clemson quarterback. So that's going to be notable. Obviously, Edge Latu for UCLA.
I'm looking forward to seeing some Latu and comparing with Dallas Turner because I'll be watching some Dallas.
Right.
And Jared Verse.
And then offensive tackle for Oregon State, Joshua Gray, is another option
as
well.
I don't like him. I like him. Keep an eye on Industrial Gray because I think, again, the Chiefs are going to be in position for offensive line. You mentioned the greatest great offensive lineman to watch in the Miami game.
Yes.
And Notre Dame.
And Notre Dame, yeah.
Put Joshua Gray on there as well for Morgan State.
So there are a lot of great options here. We're starting to really kind of solidify which positions to watch out for. I think the four big positions there are defensive tackle, wide receiver, and offensive tackle. And then after that, I really kind of feel like there's kind of luxury positions that the Chiefs can go after that. But those are the three main positions to look out for there. Obviously, you want to watch out for the quarterbacks as well, just because that could very well affect the Chiefs' ability to get the player that they want in the draft. So
you need all quarterbacks to play well.
Yes, you do.
Every single damn one.
Yes, everyone to play great, everyone to get drafted in the first round. So with that, we will make sure that we have the Week 7 recap, biggest stories there. Best performances, guys who made themselves a lot of money from this coming weekend for college football. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. We'll catch you guys next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.